after many had already left. Young man on the altar right here. As far as we know, he's still lost tonight. But late, after many others had left, there were still a few. And Brother Strode sang a song. He told me, I think he said it was the second time he'd ever sung the song. And I thought he'd sung it 100 times because that's how he sung it. And I've asked him to sing that song again tonight. It's a song of Rusty Goodman, part of the Happy Goodman family that was gospel singers and sang all over the country. But he wrote this song. And I believe that he, according to what I knew about him, I've seen them sing. I've been in their presence. And they wasn't Baptist, but I believe he was a saved man. I don't think you could write a song like this without knowing the Lord. And I've asked Brother Strode to sing the song tonight. He did a beautiful job last night. But it asked a question. I want you to listen. If you're lost tonight, I want you to listen. Because there was a man one time that he walked up Mount Calvary's hill with a cross laid across his back. He went there willingly. And he went there and was nailed to that cross and lifted up between the earth and heaven, and he hung there, and he poured out his life, and he poured out his blood, that the whole world might have eternal life. The man that wrote this song, he asked a question. As he thought about who would do such a thing, especially for a sinner like me. Brother Strode.
When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary took my place. Then I ask myself a question. Who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go for. Who am I? Then I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave thee never. Just be true, I'll give to you a life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son. Fight my battles till they're won. Who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go for. Who am I?
Who am I that he would do such a thing? But he did it because he loved us. That's why he gave his life and poured out his blood, because he loved us. Anyone else got something on your heart tonight? Anyone else got something on your heart? I don't want to weary your patience tonight, because in all honesty, as I have listened to everything that's been said, everything that God had put on my heart, almost every word that God had put up on my heart tonight has already been said. It's been said through the testimonies of God's people. It's been said. But I do want to read just a little passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture was a passage of Scripture that I read the very first time that I ever stood and tried to preach in Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 28 years ago. I tried to pick something else for the very first sermon. I didn't want to read this passage of Scripture and preach upon this particular subject, because it is pointed to lost people. I wanted to preach something happy. I wanted to preach something uplifting, but God just wouldn't let me do that. And this was the passage of Scripture that he gave me that I used the very first time that I tried to preach. And I want to read this. And I want to say a couple of things. I'm not going to wear your patience. We've already been here a while. This is found in the 10th chapter of the book of Mark. I love those passages of Scripture where Jesus is involved directly, where people met him because they met the Master. I love those passages of Scripture where Jesus spoke to to those that came to him. He never sent them away empty. He never just sent them away without responding to whatever they asked him or whatever they asked him for. This is found in the 10th chapter of Mark. And I'm going to begin to read at about the 13th. And I'm just going to begin to read down at the 17th verse. Jesus had just had some people that had brought some little children to him. And then immediately after that, the scripture says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." This was a young man that came to Jesus. We're told in another passage of Scripture that he was a ruler, a young ruler. Evidently had great possessions in this world. Wealthy. I suppose that he had everything that money could buy. He believed that he was a good person, and he thought that he had lived a good life. And he desired to have eternal life. He wanted that. He desired to have that to a point. And even came, and the scripture says he fell down at the feet of Jesus and called him good master. And said, "What must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus' response to him was that thou knowest the commandments. And Jesus repeated them to this young man. And this young man, he said that all these have I observed from my youth. I suppose he believed within his own heart that he had actually kept all them. I don't believe he had. I don't believe there's any person that's ever lived that has kept all of the commandments all of the time without breaking even one of them. That's what he was saying that he had done. I believe he was a good man. Probably better than any of us that's here tonight. But Jesus' response to him was, "One thing thou lackest." And what he lacked was he was not born again. He wasn't saved. He didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ like all of these people that have stood tonight and have testified out of their hearts their knowledge of salvation. Because they really have met the Master. And Jesus said to this young man, "One thing thou lackest." Now, him being rich, Jesus said to him, because Jesus knew this young man, he knew all about him, just like he knows all about us. I suppose he'd never met him before, but that didn't make any difference. Jesus knew this young man. He knew everything about him, his life, his possessions. Amen. He knew every thought and every intent of his heart. He knew everything about him, just like he knows tonight everything about you. And Jesus said one thing you're lacking. And then he said, go and sell whatsoever that you have. Sell it all. Get rid of it all. And give it to the poor, that you might have treasure in heaven. Senator, I want you to know tonight that there is a treasure that God has that he can give you and will give you, wants to give you, if you will only come to him like he wants you to come to him. And the reason that he told this young man to sell all that he had and give it away was because it was standing between him and his absolute, complete faith in God. And he had to get rid of it. And the scripture says he went away grieved because he was very rich. The truth is, it doesn't matter whether it's riches or whether it's something else. The human nature is that we do not want to give up whatever it is that's standing between us and God. That's human nature. That is the sinful nature of man, that we want to hold on to whatever it is that we have, that we want to hold on to that, and we don't want to give that up. We want God, but we want to hold on to those things that will separate us from God. And that was the case of this young man. You see, God has got to make you a new creature. He's got to change you from the inside out. He's got to change your nature. And in order to change your nature, you'll have to give up some things that you don't want to give up. I'm not able to look into hearts. I don't know what it is that stands between people and God. Only God is able to know that, but I do know that there is something that's standing between every lost sinner and them being saved. Sometimes it's pride, which is common to all men, pride. Jesus, or in the scripture condemns pride. And in the book of Isaiah, scripture, it tells us how that, you know, our thoughts are not the thoughts of God. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, the scripture says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isn't that just what people's been saying all over this house tonight? How that God abundantly pardoned them, forgave them of every sin that they had when they came to him, repenting of their sins and surrendering all to him. That's just what it takes. We can't hold on to one thought. We can't hold on to one way. We can't hold on to one idea. We have to surrender it all. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Sinner, you've got to give it all up. You've got to give it all up. You've got to be willing to give it all up, whatever it is that God wants you to do. When I first started preaching, after about 2 or 3 years, I helped in a revival at Old Union Missionary Baptist Church. Brother Paul Bryson was the preacher, or the pastor there. And one night during that revival, we had probably 8 or 10 on the altar. I think there was about 15 got saved in that revival meeting, but well, there was about 8 or 10 on the altar that night. The altar was filled with God's people. The church house was full. And during the midst of the altar service, someone came up to the altar area. Brother Bryson and myself were standing almost side by side, and they said, "Brother Bryson, there's a little girl back in the house on the very back seat, and she's lost. Would somebody go back and talk to her?" He went back and he talked to her. She was sitting there on that seat. Her mother was sitting beside of her. She had her head laid over on her mother. He went back and he talked to her. He came back up to the front, and when I had an opportunity, I asked him, I said, "Is she lost?" And he said, "Oh, yes, she's lost. But she didn't want to come to the altar." He said, "But she will. When she gets in enough trouble, she'll come to the altar. Nobody will have to get her. She'll come when she gets in enough trouble." The very next night at that revival meeting, as soon as the preaching was done and an altar call was made, that little girl made her way. She was the first one to the altar that night because she was in trouble. She was in trouble. She gave up that pride that prevented her the night before from coming to the altar and seeking God. She was willing then to give it up. And she got saved. She got saved that night. I'm telling you that you'll have to give up your way. You'll have to be willing to part with any of it that you might have, whatever would separate you from God. In the 16th chapter of the book of Luke, there's a passage of scripture there about a rich man and a beggar. A rich man. The scripture says that he lived sumptuously every day. He had everything that money could buy that he wanted, but there was a beggar that laid at his gate and begged for the crumbs from his table. You know, isn't that how it is in this world? I really do believe that there's lots of folks in this world that's had everything. But in eternity, they're going to have nothing. They're not going to have anything except the wrath of God upon them. And there's a lot of people in this world that have almost been beggars, and some of them are beggars. And they're going to have everything. They're going to have everything. I just want to read to you the end of these two men. One of them the rich man, and one of them the beggar that laid at his gate. And they both died. And death is facing you, and it's facing me. And the scripture says it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He went to heaven, didn't he? He had eternal life. He went to where all things are good. That's where he went. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Now that's the two different sides of the spectrum. The one that had been a beggar in this life, he was carried by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man that lived in this world and had everything, he died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes and was in torment. Sinner, that's what you're facing tonight. That's what you're facing. That's exactly what you're facing. And you'll have to be willing to give up everything. I was just like many of these tonight that have spoken, every one of them. But when the Lord saved my soul, I'd been seeking him for a few months. But the night that the Lord saved my soul, I was willing to have died if that's what it took for him to save my soul and get me out of the torments that I was in with my soul. I was willing to him just take my life and take me on or save me. Either way, get me out of this misery. And so the scripture says in the book of James, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Oh, yes, that's what he does. He gives us grace. He gives us grace to come to him. He gives us grace to believe. He gives us grace to surrender it all in his hands. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's what the Word of God says. And that's just what everybody here tonight has said. And sinner, that's what he'll do for you when you will come to him, repenting of your sins, trusting in him, surrendering everything to him, holding back and keeping nothing. I don't care how good you are tonight. I don't care how good a family you have. It doesn't matter how good your parents or grandparents are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you're sitting in one of the best churches in America. It doesn't matter about any of that. There's one thing that you're lacking, and that is the salvation of your soul, being born again of the Spirit of God. The washing of regeneration, being changed, and God making you a new creature. The scripture says that he that be in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Isn't that just what people's been saying tonight? That's just what people's been saying. God makes the difference. Because he changes us. He changes our nature. And when he changes us, he gives us peace. And he gives us love. And he gives us assurance and confidence. And Rusty Goodman wrote the song and said, Who am I, Lord? Who am I that you do all that for, Lord? Who am I? Why would you do that for somebody like me, Lord? We can't understand that. We'll never understand that, Brother Miller. We'll never understand that. The best that we can understand about that is that he loved us. And we know and we feel his great love that he's loved us with. Sinner, if you're lost without God, you'll never have a better opportunity. I want a song. You'll never have a better opportunity. You'll never be in the house of God when the Spirit of God is more prevalent than it's been here tonight. You'll never be in a better time and a better place than you are right now in this place tonight. You'll never have a better opportunity than right now to come and seek God and surrender yourself to him. You'll never have a better time. What will you do while we stand and sing? Would you come and would you pray and would you seek God?
397, number 397.